I've been promising some exciting news, and here it is. I'm thrilled to announce that 80 Proof Politics is now a part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. You can find this and several other fascinating podcasts at evergreenpodcast.com. We're kicking off this new partnership with a little different take on 80 Proof, a four-episode miniseries with the help of Dakin Campbell and his colleagues at Insider. And every time you hear this audio mnemonic from now on, think Evergreen Podcasts. What if you had $3 million to spend in Washington? How would you do it? You might buy a nice piece of property on Capitol Hill or a condo in trendy Noma. Or maybe you'd want to spread your good fortune around by donating to several charities. And if you're wanting to be seen as a major player in the political world, you'd make several contributions across the political spectrum, like contributions to the re-election campaigns of members of Congress, to the major political party organizations. You might even lend a hand to a presidential election effort. Join me over the next few weeks as I take a look at how one company and an affiliated basketful of others set out to do just that and more during a special series I'm calling 80 Proof Politics Behind the Curtain. Oh, and that $3 million? Just a drop in the bucket. If you're a regular listener of 80 Proof Politics, you know that my guest Bertz and I distill the art of advocacy here in Washington. We've talked about shoe leather lobbying, communication strategies, political contributions, media outreach, and creating a surround sound around policy development. Each of these tools and more are intricate parts of the typical advocacy playbook. But what if those tools were used as part of a hyper-accelerated strategy?
The really fascinating thing about SBF and his strategy in Washington has been how quickly he's implemented it.
That's Dakin Campbell, who along with his colleagues Rob Price, Jack Newsom, and Darius Rafieyan spurred my interest in this story with their recent article in Insider.
I think in any cycle, that would be impressive. But the fact that he was able to do it within the last 18 months and really within the last year, I think is one thing that makes this story really just so incredible.
And the SBF you mentioned? You may have read a lot recently about the Bahamas-based cryptocurrency exchange FTX and its high-profile CEO Sam Bankman-Fried. You might have seen where FTX had grown to over 1 million users and, as of July of 2021, a trading valuation of more than $18 billion and customer assets worth $16 billion. By early 2022, when it seemed there was no ceiling to how high crypto could soar, that value had increased to $32 billion. According to Reuters, that placed FTX as the third largest cryptocurrency exchange by volume. And though this isn't a podcast about crypto or blockchain, I'll leave that to the bros. In order to help paint a picture of things to come, we should probably spend a little more time on FTX's and Bankman-Fried's history. Bankman-Fried, let's just call him SBF. I mean, he apparently prefers that anyway. SBF is an interesting dude. If you turn to Central Casting to find the perfect image of a high-tech maverick CEO, you tap SBF on the shoulder. A friend of mine who's done some work in the crypto world described SBF as very disarming and weird. But he probably comes across as weird just because he seems like a boy genius. Basically, your typical Silicon Valley 30-year-old in cargo shorts. Fittingly, he was born on the Stanford campus to two law professors. Why is that relevant to this story? I'll circle back to that later. But SBF decides to chart his own course by attending MIT on the other side of the continent and graduates with a bachelor's degree in physics and a minor in mathematics. Now, while at MIT, SBF interns at the proprietary trading firm Jane Street Capital, which then hires him after graduation, and this is where he gains firsthand experience in trading international ETFs, or exchange-traded funds. After 4 years, SBF leaves Jane Street, moves to Berkeley to work as the director of development for something called the Center for Effective Altruism. And by the way, that's center with an R-E, not an E-R. After a few short months at CEA, he and a colleague started a quantitative trading firm called Alameda Research, which focuses on Bitcoin arbitrage. To this day, he still owns 90% of Alameda. He then decides to move to Hong Kong to be closer to the higher price of Bitcoin in Southeast Asia and begins arbitraging that against the weaker America marketplace. This is the birth of FTX. Okay, let's pause for a second and also talk about the concept of effective altruism because, well, it's kind of relevant to where this series is headed. Well, apparently, effective altruism is a social movement of sorts that advocates using evidence and reason to figure out how to benefit others as much as possible. Practitioners of effective altruism typically choose careers based on the amount of good that the career achieves and then donate a significant amount of their earnings or wealth to charities that are widely held to make significant impacts. That's really all we need to know about effective altruism. But, as I said, you'll see a bit later why we took that little detour.
This is Peter.
And this is Tom.
We want to tell you guys a little bit about our podcast. Tom and I met in college, became best friends, and then teachers almost 20 years ago. Sometimes school just does not allow us to elaborate on the topics that we find interesting, like the real shark attacks that inspired the movie Jaws, or the real historical context to Indiana Jones artifacts. Where does cereal come from? Or are zombies real? Does Ben Franklin really deserve to be on a $100 bill? On our podcast, just like in our class, there are no stupid questions.
Just two friends having lighthearted conversation about history, pop culture, and the context of current events.
Listen to History Teachers Talking Podcast from Evergreen Network, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Before we continue, let me tell you about one of the unique aspects of Evergreen Podcasts that caught my eye. Last summer, Evergreen brought into the tent Big Wig Media, based right here in D.C., Big Wig Media is a full-service multimedia studio located in the shadow of the White House and looking right down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol. They offer content creators with a DC focus the opportunity to add a live element to their digital content. So why might you want to engage with Big Wig Media? Well, organizations can streamline their internal communications with recorded video messages. Associations can create their very own stream show to add additional value to members. And industries coordinating fly-ins can add a digital element to capture statements of support, which will provide shareable content year-round. I mean, they even have a team of in-house media experts to help you and your organization put your best face forward. Sounds like you might want to add Big Wig to your playbook. Okay, I think that covers what we need to know about crypto for this story. After all, it's complicated. Blockchain is such game-changing technology, even those who are experts have a hard time explaining it to average folks like us. So why are we talking about it at all on a podcast devoted to advocacy? Well, because our old friend SBF and his groupies spent the better part of the last 2 years lobbying, networking, throwing high-profile political parties, and making FTX a beltway name in a remarkably short span of time.
So SBF was notable in the crypto industry for seemingly embracing the idea of regulation. There have been many folks in crypto over the years who've sort of turned up their noses at Washington and, you know, both lawmakers, but also the regulatory establishment, and said that, you know, we don't need regulation. This is a decentralized technology, and, you know, we're building something with the people. And SBF was really took a different approach, and he really positioned himself as someone who was friendly with regulators. And so he went in and he talked to the SEC. He talked to the CFTC. He really appeared to be very open with his interest in getting sensible regulation for the crypto industry.
So it all boils down to one simple word, regulation, or more accurately, the absence of regulation. And though Mother Nature may abhor a vacuum, the lack of clear policy in DC is a lobbyist's best friend. When it comes to cryptocurrency, that lack of policy stems from several roots. Most notably, the fact that the federal government can't even decide which agency should regulate blockchain commodities like Bitcoin and FTT. This is exactly why FTX executives contributed more than $70 million to re-election campaigns, plus an additional $10 million to Biden's presidential run over the previous two cycles. And it's exactly why they donated, by some estimates, more than $190 million to charities that would raise their effective altruism reputations. That 1-2 punch is a surefire way to get noticed in this town, and it helped make FTX a Washington player. But then again, so is filing for bankruptcy and being accused of squandering away over one half of the money customers entrusted in you. Over $10 billion in the case of FTX. Oh, and remember that $3 million drop in the bucket I mentioned at the top? Yep. FTX used it to buy a townhouse just blocks from the Capitol. Join me next time on 80 Proof Politics Behind the Curtain as we take a look at what exactly FTX hoped to accomplish by playing the political game at the major league level. And hey, many thanks again to Dakin Campbell and his colleagues Rob Price, Jack Newsom, Darius Rafian of Insider for their unique ability to shine the sun on just exactly what's been going on. More on their contributions later. Once again, I can't tell you how thrilled I am that 80 Proof Politics has joined the Evergreen Podcast family. For more great episodes of this podcast and many others, please go to evergreenpodcast.com.
Did you know virtually all vessels traveling in the U.S. have to be American-built, owned, and crewed? That's thanks to the Jones Act, which is the bedrock of the American maritime industry.
On the American Maritime Podcast, we cover the topics that matter most to the 650,000 men and women of American maritime, while also being accessible for the average listener to learn about this industry.
Every episode features a new guest, including congressional leaders, senior military officials, leading policy analysts, and other experts.
Come aboard and listen wherever you get your podcasts
or watch on the American Maritime Partnership's YouTube channel.